To support Interested Anthony, check out anthonyhuhulis.com/shop. There you can find all sorts of products, from apparel to framed wall art to throw pillows. Just select the artwork you'd like, adjust the sizing, pick your colors. It's completely customizable. Just go to anthonyhuhulis.com/shop. That's Anthony, HOUHOULIS.com/shop. Thank you for your support. Today, my guest is a special one. He's run the gamut of jobs across a variety of industries, from the film biz, working with Adam Sandler and the folks at Happy Madison, to the restaurant business, to the automotive industry, and digital marketing as a client onboard manager. He's an entrepreneur and founder of Showroom Concepts and Vindependent Media. Please welcome Vinny Patsios. So what did your degree focus on? Were you like film specific, or were you marketing specific, or what were your goals going into college and then coming out of college armed with that knowledge?
That's actually a great question. So I was like any other kid coming out of high school. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, right? I knew kind of the schools I wanted to go to and the programs that they had and the direction-ish that I wanted to go in. But I didn't go into film production because I had like some crazy passion for it. I went into film production because Endicott had just finished rebuilding this like massive news studio suite. I think it was something like a few million dollars. So we went in there on my tour and I was awestricken, right? Like, just jaw dropped, like, holy crap, look at this place. And then on the tour, they tell us that you get to use all the equipment literally year one, week one. You have access to everything. Now, most colleges, that's what you do in like your thesis.
Senior year.
Right. So Endicott does like the whole inverted pyramid thing, where you do all your core classes your first 2 years, and then you do all like your liberal arts and like gen eds the last 2 years with your internships where you're actually working. So they let you, they have you take a real job and then do your gen ed classes so you can actually focus on your job and then still do your like curriculars. That's what really let me jump into video production. Because I had used a camera a couple times and I had some friends that were into it professionally. And I quickly had the credentials, whether it be an internship or like a college education or part college education, to start getting into that stuff. So that was kind of the segue. Ultimately, I came to the realization that I just wasn't good enough at actual video production creation. I had access to all the cameras, all the equipment, and everything, and just the work wasn't coming out like on par with people that had lesser equipment or equivalent, and were also undercutting for the job. So it took me about 3 or 4 years, but I moved away from video production and into other marketing avenues. And that's where Independent Media really started. It started as like a wedding videography and photography business that I'm hoping to turn into just an all-around media like outlet, if you will.
I'd be curious to know what trends are currently going on in the car world, because COVID have basically been all the news. And I remember just before all of this, the big thing was the new Corvette, and everyone, even non-car people, were talking about it. Is anyone even still paying attention to that? What's kind of going on in the car world right now?
That is a good question. Dude, the car world's a funny space, man. It's like, it's very niche. The thing about the Corvette specifically is that it's one of, I don't want to say it's the first because I'm not sure. It's one of the first mid-engined American muscle cars. Now, the reason that that's unique for the Corvette specifically is because the Corvette was designed to be a front-engine mounted car. Like, the Corvette was designed to prove to Ferrari and Lamborghini that you didn't need to put the engine in the back. Fast forward to 20. You know what I mean? So it's funny that like they held off for so long and they did so great. I'll say this, it looks phenomenal. Unfortunately, I'm not in the kind of position that allows me to drive a bunch of different cars. I just get to look at them and research them all day and like look at sales projections and stuff like that. But It's a phenomenal car for all intents and purposes, for everything that I've seen. And the reason that it created waves is because it was so sacrilegious to itself. Like, again, the point of a Corvette was to say, haha, we're putting in the engine in the front. We're in America and we can do it just as good. And, yeah. and they can't, they just couldn't. But now they put it in the rear and people are arguing it's 10 times better for half the price.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It's a really nice looking car too. It's beautiful.
I do want to get into, because now we kind of know what you're doing. We know the entrepreneurship, we know the marketing, we know the cars, but I want to get into the jobs that you had earlier on that maybe helped prepare you for all this.
Yeah, man.
Because you think of the marketing and the media, and obviously your communications background helped with that. How did being in the restaurant industry help with your professional growth? What did that teach you?
Dude, the restaurant industry will teach more for somebody in 2 years of working there about interpersonal skills than you will learn in any amount of time in any other job. Guaranteed. Like, you have people from all walks of life. I've met some of like the smartest philosophical people I've ever met in a restaurant. And again, the other side of the spectrum, I've met some of the dumbest people ever. You know what I mean? So it's a kind of a funny thing. I was working in like pizza. So I was working for Regina Pizzeria in Woburn for like 2 or 3 years. Really, really humbling experience. I was in video production. I was working for Wheels TV in Acton, and I got laid off and I couldn't find a job for like 9 months. My buddy was a kitchen manager at the restaurant in Woburn, and he offered me a job. And like I said, and maybe people can kind of keep here, I thought I was a little bit too good for it, dude. I swear to God, because I had been like in my career for a few years, and like it was a very, very, very humbling experience. Made good money too. So for anyone that thinks it's like not a decent wage, I mean, you know, are you going to be making millions? No, but can you live? Yes. But no, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about people and how to deal with people and how to keep people happy.
What did you do at that restaurant? Or did you work a number of jobs or?
So there I made pizzas. Specifically I made pizzas, but I worked at like at Domino's. We're doing customer stuff too. And I've worked on farms, like, you know, vegetable and flower farms, and I've worked at car dealerships. And the running joke with my colleagues is that I've like literally done it all. I've literally had pretty much any kind of job that you could think that someone's had. I've like scooped horse shit up. Like, and like you said in the intro, like everything from literally scooping up horse shit to working in the Hollywood movies at whatever limited capacity it was. I've seen it, I've done it all. And that's one thing that I truly appreciate.
I want to get into that first day at the pizzeria after having lost the Wheels TV job, because I remember when I got, you know, this is like a kind of a tangent, but I was on the hockey team, you know, doing the JV thing for a while at the high school, and I'd been doing the travel team, and I was going to go, expected to play varsity the next year. And over that summer, there was kind of a falling out with the coach and just this whole story. And so they essentially just cut me from the whole program. And I had the opportunity, because it wasn't technically part of the school, so I was only allowed to go play on the JVB team if I wanted to. It was kind of like this other, like, unaffiliated team. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first practice, because every year leading up to this, seventh grade, you know, first year of middle school, I had made my first selects team, and I went and we were, you know, playing all over the place. We played in the 1980 Olympic rink in Lake Placid. I scored a goal in that rink, scored a goal in the 1932 Olympic rink. The next year, got called up to the older team and was playing with kids older than me again on that same Olympic rink. And like, fast forward, and now I'm being cut from the JV team and I'm on the JVB team with all freshmen. And it's like, it was like that experience of, you know, I don't want to say this is below me, but like that sort of, you know, the feeling in the pit of your stomach of like, oh my, like I want to quit and cry, you know, like everything is pinnacled to what? To this.
Yep.
And I think going through that, did so much good for me because at the end of that season, we played the JVA team. They had called down a bunch of varsity kids because they were kind of scared of us, you know, making them look like fools. And even with those varsity kids, we like wiped the floor with them. I think we ended up losing the game on like a garbage goal at the end, but I scored a goal that game. We like wiped the floor with them, and it taught me, you know, you can always kind of claw your way back if you work hard enough. And also don't look down on those kids around you because, you know, it certainly wasn't just me out there at the end of the year playing against the varsity kids. All those kids that I had judged at the beginning of the year were right there with me wiping the floor with them. So what was that first night at the pizzeria like, and what did that job teach you moving forward from that experience?
Yeah. So the first night there, it's funny, like when you first start, they have like the little stations, right? And when you first start, you're on the ovens, which theoretically is like the easiest place to be, but realistically it's the hardest place. It's at least in this particular fashion, in this like fired brick oven style pizza. Because if you let it cook longer than like the extra minute and a half, you burn it to shit. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, can this kid stand in front of four 750 degree ovens for 6 hours? Right. So that's test number one. Mm-hmm. Not many people are willing to do it. It's not hard, but not many people are like willing to do it and like willing to burn their arms, reaching elbow deep into a brick oven to pull out a pizza. So it's one of those things where like my first night, I thought I was going to be making pies because I like had a job and worked at Domino's before and like could make a pizza. Even on the interview, they had me make a pizza. So it's not like I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But the volume was insane, insane. We had capacity for about 60 pizzas, depending on like small and large, whatever. And we would bring in like 50 an hour. And they each got to cook for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? 6 minutes, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So like me thinking I was just going to get a job at a pizza place to like cover my bills and rent, was so far from the truth. And I walked into this like beast of a restaurant that is like the best pizza in Boston. Also, if anyone out there knows about Regina Pizzeria,
is that the like one all, down?
So I wasn't
Boston yet, Depot.
Yeah. So I wasn't, funny, their North End location is like the real deal, mm-hmm. but they use all the same ovens and all the same ingredients and all the same everything everywhere. So there's no discernible difference. Like honestly, not like legit. I'm years removed from that restaurant and I still couldn't pick the differences out of a hat. In any event. So it taught me a lot about, I guess, first of all, understanding what you're getting yourself into. And then like you're on the ovens until you're off of them. So like I spent a good like six, I was at the restaurant for 3 or 4 years and I spent like a good 6, 7, 8 months on the ovens. Just like getting burned, sweating, like all that kind of shit. So like a lot of perseverance, a lot of patience, a lot of drinking water. So it was good, but no, it was definitely a culture shock, dude.
That sort of job you went into thinking, oh, this is going to be the worst thing ever. I want to go on the flip side to the job you're going into thinking this is going to be the greatest thing ever. When you worked with Adam Sandler, how did that job come about? What was it for? And then we'll get into sort of what you did on it.
So that job, I went to Endicott, as we talked about, and Endicott require you to do 3 internships. Mm-hmm. That was one of my internships. Luckily, I have a family friend who is into video production pretty heavily now. He's made a decent career for himself in that space. So he was networking with a bunch of people and they needed a gopher for the Happy Madison, That's My Boy movie that they filmed on the Cape. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough that the timing was impeccable. And I was actually able to take 3 or 4 weeks off of school in like its entirety, to be able to do that. Cause it was like a little bit more, in depth than some of my other like student colleagues, I guess. Mm-hmm.
What was your first day on that job like?
So my first day on that job was, I believe, if I remember correctly, they set up the office in a Holiday Inn. So the first day was doing a bunch of paperwork. And then my first task was to do the grocery shopping for the Sandler family. Yeah. So I had to go to Trader Joe's with this long list of stuff and buy it all down to the brand and the quantity of brands. So like, you know, I couldn't get them granola bars. Mm-hmm. I had to get them a 12-pack of the, and this isn't like true, right? It's just like, I had to get them like the 12-pack of the Nature's Valley honey and oats, mm-hmm. like individually wrapped. You know what I mean? Like it was that kind of thing. I loved it, but dude, God forbid you get them the wrong brand, dude. Like, and like, that's part of the reason why I kind of got out of that industry, not because I like fucked up the grocery shopping, but like it's so cutthroat that yeah. like, why are you mad about this? Right. Like you got your Triscuits. Sorry. Right. You got your Triscuits. What's the problem?
Yeah.
So there was it's like a bunch of stuff like that it just kind of turned me off. But no, that was an awesome experience too. I got to shake Adam Sandler's hand with the cast. Like it was they were cool dudes. They're all wicked down to earth, like regular mm-hmm. Joes. It's funny, I was talking to my friends yesterday about politics, and we won't get into that here, but I made the point that like everybody on earth is just like an average schmuck. Like yeah. it's just the way the earth works. Like, yeah. you know, you have a podcast, I do digital marketing, Trump's the president, like this guy's a doctor, right? And we're all just average people with a title attached to it. You take right. them out of that profession and we're all just people.
Yeah.
And like, thank God, I kind of live my life with that lens. Like I don't really see people for what they do. I kind of see them for like mm-hmm. being human, which is works to my benefit and my detriment, you know, greatly. So they're all just like average down to earth guys, like so chill. We watched one of the FIFA World Cup games with like the grandma's boy guy. I forget his name. But like I sat in his hotel room and we like chilled, drank beers and watched the FIFA game. Like while another one of my buddies was like packing up his shit, you know what I mean? And it was like, that's wicked cool. Got to go to the after party, the rap party, like all that kind of stuff. Awesome experience, but yeah. Not for me.
Do you think that did more to just teach you about not to be swayed by the glitz and the glamour? Because now that you do media stuff, you're not chasing that. Whereas a lot of people I'm sure around you are chasing that.
Yeah, man, it's funny. I saw a Facebook comment the other day, and this is pretty aggressive, but I laughed. It was like this kid, they were going back and forth as Facebook will do. And this kid just goes, yeah, you must be one Hollywood party away from your $1 million deal. And I was like, ain't that the truth, dude? Like everyone's out there chasing it, trying to do whatever it takes to get there. And I don't know, it's a rat race. But yeah, dude, that was an eye-opening experience because you meet all these people and they're just regular people.
Yeah.
Like when I met Adam, it was like so nonchalant mm-hmm. that I was like, oh, word. And like I wish it was more like, holy shit. Like I've watched all your movies since I was a kid. I have them all on DVD. Like, holy shit. Oh my God. But it was just like, hey, what's up?
And you're hoping to come up to you and be like, hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, so that's the thing, dude. So the first, okay. So after I got a little bit into it, part of the job wasn't just like doing their grocery shopping. I was actually like the family's personal assistant on the Cape. So with that comes anything that they need me to do. One of my first tasks was to move him from the W Hotel into their Cape house. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're aware, but like when these Hollywood movies come to town, the actors either post up in hotels or they'll literally pay a family to leave their house. Like literally. So the Sandler family, the production companies, all of them, they pay these families like 30, 40 grand for a month or two. They say, take all your pictures off the wall, take all your spices out of the cabinet and come back in November. And that's what happens. So we moved him from his hotel room in the W to one of these houses on the Cape. And we were like baby proofing the house and doing all this stuff, and I'm packing up his box in the W. And like the other thing that was like, wow, these are really just people. Like you see Adam Sandler playing basketball in all of his movies. Mm-hmm. Like those shoes, those shirts, like that's all of his gear. Like that's all his shit. That's not wardrobe. That's like him showing up to set, coming from his trailer and playing basketball with a camera. Like that's wicked cool, dude. Like wicked cool. So I'm like, I'm in his hotel room, just like taking down the jerseys and boxing up basketball shoes, yada, yada, yada. And I make my way around the room and we're doing our final sweep. And the last thing is on the counter. And this is like a big suite, so it looks like a master bedroom, right? So the last thing is on the counter and it's a cardboard box of pills. And I didn't, whatever they were, whatever. And I'm packing them up and I grab the box of like, you know, whatever it was. And I put it in the other box and in walks Adam Sandler right behind me. And he goes, "Hey, what's up?" And I turned around. I was like, Hey, Mr. Sandler, how you doing?" And he goes, "You stealing my fucking pills?" And I was like, "No, I'm just putting them in the box. I'm getting ready. We're bringing them to the Cape for you." And he goes, "No, take however many you want. Just let me know." And it was like, it was wicked funny. And we like started shooting the shit and just like talking and yada, yada, yada. But it was like, I was sitting there with his like box of medication. Like, he's like, "You stealing my fucking pills?" Like, "No, dude, I promise I'm not." And it was chill. We rode back and like he drives himself around with his family. Like he doesn't have the chauffeur. None of them do. They're just, dude, that group of guys just has fun making movies. And to that point was the one thing that I was really like, damn, if I could get on this level and just like travel around with my boys and make blockbusters twice a year, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But dude, the flip side of it is like part of the job too was that I had to like do airport runs. So there was one time where I was picking somebody up. I actually will kind of watch myself here. I was picking somebody up from the airport, from the hotel and driving them to Logan. So I was picking them up in Falmouth, Mass and driving them to Logan. Mm-hmm. I was scheduled to pick them up at 2:30 in the morning for like a 4 a.m. flight. And which isn't a lot of time, not a lot of time to begin with, for like, you're supposed to show up to the airport like 2 hours in advance. And they're, mm-hmm. they're giving me an hour and a half with an hour and a half long drive. So I pick up this lady and I showed up, like 20 minutes late to pick her up at the hotel. And when I picked her up, she was on the phone and she got in the back of the car and she was just like talking mad shit about me and how mm-hmm. I was late and like all this stuff. And it was pretty candid.
Was this like a celebrity? One of the stars of the film?
No. Thankfully, that would definitely tarnish my thoughts, relative of, I'll say that it was a relative, immediate family member. And she was just like bashing me and like on the phone with said celebrities. And like, it was just a shitty experience. And me being the young kid trying to like make my way into Hollywood, right? Driving a fully loaded Cadillac Escalade, you bet your ass I made it to Logan in 45 minutes from Falmouth. 45 minutes. We averaged 110 miles an hour the entire way, and I used an entire tank of gas.
Jeez.
It was insane. Insane. But it was like, dude, it's 2 a.m. Like, you got nowhere to be. Yeah. You're like, what, do you have brunch in the morning? Why are you even catching a 6 a.m. flight? Sleep in. What's the problem here? So like, you know what I mean? And I go pick her up and she was just talking mad shit. So that kind of sucked. And
you're like, you're not the star here. Where do you got to go?
Like, so far from it. But overall, great, great, great people. Again, not an industry I'd jump in at this point. But super happy I got the experience. Not many people say that they can, you know, shake hands and watch FIFA. And
I mean, let's face it. Even without the celebrities, getting paid to watch FIFA isn't bad either. That's not a bad job.
I will say this. I made 30 grand in 2 months.
Jeez.
It was not cheap.
They really do.
They take care of people.
Shell out for those movies.
Dude, it's insane. And like, I was like, this is how much I'm making.
Right.
How much is everybody else making? Like, I'm literally going to buy Triscuits and seltzer. And you're paying me like a $5,000 a week. What the hell is going on here? And you give me the car. I didn't even have to take my own car. It was so funny. That's the other thing. I wasn't even allowed to drive my own car. Like, I had to drive the Escalade because at the time my Ford wasn't good enough. So I like couldn't be seen going in and out of the estates in my Ford. So
it's like an image thing at that point.
Dude, yeah. And it's funny because you see all that shit go down, and like as average as people as they are, they still like, you know, some control and like, you know, image control.
I'm like biting my tongue not to go nutso right now, but it just drives me bonkers when they go, we can't shoot film anymore because it's too expensive. We're going to shoot digital. Like, we're going to cheap out on the camera. Oh, but let's pay the fifth PA what it would cost for a film camera. Like,
dude, I didn't even get a credit in the movie. Like, they paid me a good amount of money and I didn't even get a credit for it. So how many other people that were involved
worked on that? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How quickly the $50 million budget goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have liked to have been in that Trader Joe's with you and just, hey, how's it going? These Triscuits are for Adam Sandler. How you doing?
Dude, it was insane. It's funny too, because like I'd have, spoiler alert, Adam, we all know that when you travel, you go by the name of Bob. So all you travel people working in hotels and high frequent and celebrity areas, if you get Bob or the family, it's the Sandlers. That's what he does. Either that or, you know, I mean, spoiler, either that or he'll like pick a character's name. But when I picked him up at the W, I had to go get the A's. And the lady at the front desk was like, yeah, it was wicked funny.
It seems like everyone I know that's kind of worked even around that industry has like a similar type of experience, like a few good moments and then just a lot of like horse shit and feeling terrible in the pit of your stomach.
Yeah, I would say that the it's funny, if you were to weigh like the good and the bad certainly like weighs more.
Yeah.
But in terms of the individual experiences, oh my God.
Yeah.
How awesome are those, man? How awesome are those? So, you know, if I could be another fly on the wall or like do another kind of PA gig, I might consider it. But in terms of like trying to pursue that kind of stuff, it's definitely not what I'm trying to do anymore. But it was a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun.
I had a similar experience. I've been an extra a couple of times on a few big movies. Mm-hmm. And every time, like I've only done it at most once a year for the last time, and more like once every 2 years, because every time I do it, I end up leaving saying, never again. And then, you know, you get the itch a year or two later and you're like, yeah, screw it.
I got an afternoon to kill.
Yeah, it's one day. And then I go in and then it's like, never again.
Yeah.
Like,
excuse me, sir, can you stand on this spot for the next 4 hours and don't move until we call you? And even after we call you, just verify that before you raise your hand.
That would have been a great experience compared to dude, the most recent one, I think this one is the permanent never again one. I went in and the lady checking in the extras made fun of my name.
What a
like Huhulis. She was like, oh, Greek, oh what, and she made some like Greek stereotype jokes or whatever, and just like that whole thing of when you work, your expectations of the restaurant business, of like the type of people you expect to work with. The lower totem pole jobs on a film set, like I kind of get that same feeling now. It's like, you know, someone that wasn't coached by an HR department that just shits on people. So I never got onto set because she'd come by and she'd go, you, she'd skip over me and you. That happened all day.
Yeah.
And it ended with, has anyone not been to set yet? I was the only one. And she says, all right, you're going now. And then
a pity. That's pity.
But not even that. Then there was like, you know what? We're going to send her back instead. Every other extra in the room goes, because she was like kind of going back and forth and everyone thought she was like joking with me. Like they didn't know she was shitting on me the whole day. So they thought it was some like witty whatever. And then she goes, actually, we're going to go with her. And all of a sudden, when everyone realized she wasn't kidding and she was actually an asshole, the entire room of like 100 extras just goes, aww. And I'm like, And I'm like, you know, some lady came over to like rub my shoulder and oh, like, my. Oh, blah, blah. And I was like, honestly, I'm happy because I've been here all day and I just want to get the f*** out of here.
Yeah,
you know,
seriously.
Like f*** this place. So I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not watching on Apple TV now.
Oh, funny. Yeah, dude, I don't know. I've never been an extra, but I've only heard horror stories. And I can't imagine that it's worth the bullshit that people go through.
Yeah. I'll give a little secret to everyone. If you want to get the experience of being an extra without the bullshit, just sneak onto the set.
Dude, funny you say that. So when I was really, really, really young, we went on a vacation. I think you were not born yet.
This isn't that Disney one that everyone keeps rubbing in my face, is it?
No, this is crazier. So when we were young, I think I was like 5 and Will was 7, or like it was around that age. We went to New York. It was like mm-hmm. me and mom, dad, and your parents. And me and Will were running around the hotel and they were filming an episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And we literally, like, we were just kids running around a hotel and we opened up a door, dude, and stumbled onto the set. That's crazy. I never remembered that until just now. Well, I have, but it like hasn't jogged my memory in probably like 10 years. Yeah, dude, that was crazy too. When we were younger, we were just running around the hotel and we opened up like a closet door, or what we thought was like a closet door. And there was this full scene and we were just like, okay. I obviously don't remember it that well because I was super young, but yeah, dude, that was crazy too.
You were like a little Oliver Twist getting into mischief.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. We were exploring the hotel as kids will do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shame on the production crew for not locking that shit down.
I don't know. I think some of it is just like, look like you belong.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. That's half the battle with everything.
The more recent story was the Little Women shoot. I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast. I did like an extra thing on that. But before that, the way I ended up, you know, applying for that extra thing, I'd snuck onto the set because it was like 5 minutes from the house. And, you know, I was sitting around in the car looking from afar and I was like, well, this is bullshit. I'm getting on that set. So you walk over and you start a conversation with one of the guys working on it, one of the tech guys, and you make buddies because he thinks you're working on it. And you're just making small talk from another department. And then you pull out the phone when he goes off to actually work. And you're like, you know, someone walks by you. You're like, no, I said we need $1 million for the production. You're making up some stupid conversation. Like, but I saw another guy who was definitely supposed to be there. And I just walked up and started talking to him, shooting the shit. We get about 10 minutes into the conversation. We're like right by Video Village. And then both of us finally... like we pick up on a couple of cues that the other was saying, and then we both just come and say, "Wait, you don't work on this movie? No, you don't. Nope."
So yeah, I was like, that's awesome.
So I was like, "Well, clearly we look like we do. So why don't we walk that way and keep talking?" So we were like two inches from the monitor, just standing there talking for like 20 minutes, and then we got kicked off. And of course, when I told my parents we got kicked off, they said, "Well, why didn't you just tell them you were with transportation and you were waiting?" Is it like, you know?
That's funny you say that. That was my PA role with the Happy Madison.
Transportation.
Transport PA, yeah.
I think that's a good place to end it. I really appreciate you taking the time to come visit the show and talk with us.
Of course, man. I appreciate you having me and happy to do it again if you need me.
Awesome. Well, friend of the show, you're welcome back anytime.
Appreciate it.
And we look forward to it. So thank you so much. And everyone... make sure you go check out if you want to replug the Instagram handle for the Frenchie and else you want to plug, take the time to do it now.
Yeah, for sure. Draw Me Like Your Frenchie is the Instagram for Penny, our little French bulldog. For those of you that don't know the reference, Anthony, I hope you know the reference. the famous line in Titanic where she says, "I want you to draw me like one of your French girls." So that's where that handle came from. And then Showroom Concepts, if anyone wants to read up about any kind of automotive news, electric vehicles, concepts close to production, that kind of stuff, you can check it out there. Showroomconcepts.com. Still have some updates to do. And appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Interested Anthony.